2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in our scripture reading, the Apostle Paul writes about sanctification of the Spirit, or sanctification by the Spirit. And that's our topic this morning. What does it mean to be set apart and sanctified for the Lord? This evening we're going to have a prayer and song leading service where we're going to combine prayers and singing songs. Seth has assigned some of the men to lead those prayers and gave them some topics to pray on. So we look forward to that. And he gave me the topic of sanctification. And to get my mind around that topic, since that is what I'm going to be praying about this evening, I wanted to, for my own personal good, do a study of that this past week, and I put some material together that might be beneficial to you as well. The world cannot be attracted to Christ by people who are not different from the world. Let me say that again. The world cannot be attracted to Christ by people who are not different from the world. We obviously want to attract people here in Clarksville to Christ. But in order to be successful in that, we're going to have to be different from the world ourselves. And that really, in a nutshell, is what sanctification is, where we are set apart from the world around us. Let's see what it means to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit today. If you go back a few hundred years to the 1700s, and a man named John Wesley, he and his brother Charles founded the Methodist Church. In the 1700s, he taught a doctrine that when a person is forgiven and saved, that is the first work of grace. Sometime later in life, it could be a short period of time, it could be a long period of time, John Wesley taught that there was what he called the second work of grace, and that was sanctification. And it came through the supernatural baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so a person, by faith only, is saved or forgiven, and then sometime later in life, they strive and they pray a lot and they ask God a lot, and God sends the supernatural working of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you're sanctified or you're set apart for God. Now, there were various holiness movement churches in the 1800s that followed that teaching. So if you drive along and you see a church sign, the such and such holiness church, they are among that particular group that teaches that particular topic. And that is that sanctification is not something that you have until you are baptized by the Holy Spirit. And it's not something that you have at the beginning of your Christian life. It comes later. We're going to see a couple of things this morning that show that that's not biblical. John Wesley, no doubt, was a very smart man, but on this matter, like other church leaders of his day and even before him, they were smart individuals, but they missed it with regard to the Word of God. In two ways. First of all, he missed it in saying that sanctification is something that comes later in life. We're actually going to see this morning from the Word of God that it comes at the very moment that we are saved, not later in life. And number two, it does not come by some baptism of the Holy Spirit. It comes, as we're going to see this morning, by us each day working to be set apart from the world. It's not something that is thrust upon us miraculously. It is something that we choose to do each and every day. And the encouragement this morning is to make that choice, to take time to be holy each and every day. So let's talk this morning about sanctification. That's what Seth wanted me to pray about this evening. And I wanted to get my head around that with regard to the Word of God. So I was studying these things this week, and this lesson came together. What is sanctification? Actually, sanctification is that which is found in both the Old and New Testament, God setting His people apart from the world, even going back to the beginning of time. But we're going to focus this morning on the New Testament period and what God wants for us. Look at our scripture reading there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where the Apostle Paul, in a nutshell, explains how it is that a person can be saved. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says that it is going to involve the gospel. It is going to involve God's calling. It is going to involve the sanctification of the Spirit. And so, brethren, beloved of God, for that God chose you from the beginning, salvation involves God making a choice to save people. And then he says, unto salvation in sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So the truth is involved in being saved, and sanctification is involved in being saved. And then verse 14, whereunto he called you through our gospel. The gospel, which is the truth, is involved in our salvation. What does it mean then in this statement, the sanctification of the Spirit? Well, the word that Paul uses here is a word that means becoming holy or set apart, sanctified, separate, consecrated. And you'll notice on the PowerPoint there that I underlined the word progress, and progressive. It's a process. It's a progressive state. It's not something that happens all at once. It's something that we have to get up and work at each and every day. It's a process. And it won't be complete until Jesus returns or until we pass from this life. It's a lifelong process. So I asked this morning, where are we in the process? How are we doing with this process? It's not something that is a one-time occasion. It's going to begin when we're baptized into Christ, but it's going to continue or supposed to continue all throughout our life. So how are we doing with that? Let me ask you this. Do we find ourselves committing the same sin over and over again? If it's the same sin over and over again, we need to do better with the process. We're finding ourselves doing the same thing. We're supposed to be distancing ourselves from sin. It's a process. That's what sanctification is. Working to be set apart. But if I find myself doing the same thing, the same temptation, the same sin, the same problem, I need to work on distancing myself from that. So this morning we're going to learn how to do that. It's a progressive transformation each and every day. Let me ask you this. Do we find ourselves being the same character or personality with regard to our relationship with God and others that we were 10 years ago or 20 years ago? Or have we matured and grown? Are we just the same person? We have to be progressively drawing closer to God and away from the world each and every day. It's a process whereby a Christian strives. We're not waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's something else that God has in mind and had in mind for people of the first century. It's not for us today. But it's a process that we need to be engaged in whereby we are moving apart and separating ourselves from sin and we're completely dedicated to Christ. Turn to 1 Peter 3:15, a well-known passage that we quote a lot with regard to being ready to give an answer. But at the beginning of that verse, Peter says, sanctify, the same basic word, sanctify or set apart in your hearts Christ as Lord. This morning, in my heart, in your heart, is Christ set apart as Lord? He's my Lord, my Master, my Savior. I do whatever He says to do. Have I set Him apart in my heart? Our Christian life is a process where we are staying away from, separating from sin, and we are completely and exclusively dedicated to Christ. The sanctification of the Spirit. That's what we want to study this morning. And it begins by understanding what sanctification is, it means simply that we're like our Heavenly Father. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 6. Our Heavenly Father is completely separate from the sinful world. He does not engage in any of that. And as His children, we're supposed to be like our Father. Do you look like your Father in any way? We all look like our Father in some physical way. We have some physical attributes about us where we look like our Father, our earthly Father. We're to be looking like our Heavenly Father. Sanctification is basically us just simply looking like our Heavenly Father. And He is separate from sin, and we need to be the same. And so God says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be to you a Father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, the promises that He had just mentioned earlier about being our Father, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, and then underscore this in your Bible, perfecting holiness, which is the same family of words, holiness, sanctify, sanctification, saint. In that same family of words, Paul says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We're going to come back to that word perfecting later in the lesson. Peter will put it this way too. Be holy as our Heavenly Father is holy. Sanctification is just simply us each day looking like our Heavenly Father. He does not engage in any kind of sinful behavior. He's separate from that. And we're to come out and be separate from that because we're just simply reflecting what our Heavenly Father is. Sanctification comes through Jesus Christ in His death on the cross. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30 that Jesus is our sanctification. Well, how is He our sanctification? Well, the Hebrew writer will explain it by saying that He died on the cross so that we can be set apart from sin. Let's look at a couple of passages in the book of Hebrews. Sanctification is us being like our Heavenly Father. And number two, it comes from Jesus when He died on the cross, and then we take advantage of that sacrifice in our life. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. The Hebrew writer writes, by which will, that is the new will, the new covenant, by which will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He died on the cross and shed His blood. We memorialize that this morning in the Lord's Supper. So that we can be sanctified and set apart. Look at verse 14. For by one offering He, Jesus, has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Look at verse 29. The Christian needs to be careful about sinning willfully because of judgment. How much sore punishment think you shall be He judged worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith He was sanctified an unholy thing. We're sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Chapter 13 and verse 12. Jesus died outside of Jerusalem. Let us therefore go unto Him without the camp bearing His reproach. And then, just one verse earlier, wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people through His own blood, suffered without the gate. That is outside the gate of Jerusalem. That's where Calvary was located, outside the gate. But Jesus' blood, through His own blood, He sanctified the people. So it requires the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. It also is provided for by the Holy Spirit. He provides us the words and the plan by which we can be sanctified. It's not a baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was for those on the day of Pentecost, the apostles, and it was for the household of Cornelius, but it's not for all people of all time. What do we get from the Holy Spirit that sets us apart? We get His words. We get His words. His words tell us how to separate and stay away from sin. Do you remember Jesus in John chapter 17 and verse 17 and again in verse 19? Jesus was praying for his disciples and he says to his Father, Father, sanctify them in what? Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Truth sanctifies us. And that's what we're getting from the Holy Spirit. We're not waiting for a baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to be reading our Bible. That's how we work in this process. And so when I'm reading, and that's why daily Bible reading is so important. Daily Bible reading is not just simply an interesting thing that the Warfield Boulevard Church does. You know, other churches don't do that, but we're kind of different. We sort of do that. Daily Bible reading, brethren, is the way that each day we set ourselves apart from the world. We're reading things, we're studying things, we're learning things that help us to talk different and act different and dress different and be different. It's not just simply a neat little thing to do and then you raise your hand on Sunday, did you do it? It's the very process that the Holy Spirit uses to get us to separate from the world. And if you find a Christian somewhere that's not separate from the world, they're not sanctified, and they're not allowing themselves to be set apart by the words of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit touches on every aspect of our life, and He's telling us how to stay separate from the world. If you look at these other Bible passages, Acts 20 and 32 and Romans 15 and verse 16 there, the connection there is that sanctification is tied to the words of the New Testament or the Gospel. That's the way in which the Holy Spirit sanctifies us. It's not a supernatural act that we're waiting on. It's not some better felt than told experience. It's not some warm inner feeling that the holiness churches often talk about even today. It's just simply reading and studying and obeying our Bible. If you look at the passage there in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 where Paul writes about the sanctification of the Spirit, the very next thing he says is what? And belief of the truth. If you turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, where Peter talks about the sanctification of the Spirit, the very next thing he says is obedience. The sanctification of the Spirit is when we obey His Word. The sanctification of the Spirit will work in us when we have belief of the truth, not through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When does sanctification come? And this is important. There may be someone here this morning that needs to be baptized into Christ. Turn with me to Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. Sanctification first comes when we are baptized into Christ. It comes when we have faith in Christ and when we are baptized into Christ. There may be someone here this morning that needs to be sanctified. That begins by having my sins washed away in baptism. And until that happens, I am not sanctified. And so I have to exercise my faith in Christ. Look at Acts 26 where the Lord is telling Saul of Tarsus or Paul what his mission is going to be after his conversion. And we find in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God that they may receive remission of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Look at this. By faith in me. Sanctified by faith in me. I have to exercise my faith in Christ. But look at verse 18. Somebody says, well, I don't need to be baptized. Until I do, I am in the power of Satan. Verse 18. Is that what you want for your life? To turn from darkness and from the power of Satan unto God. I've got to get out of that power. It begins when I exercise my faith in Christ, and then number two, when I am baptized into Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. I am set apart when I have those sins washed away. When Paul is looking back on the conversion of the Corinthians, he writes in chapter 6 and verse 11, "And such were some of you, but you were washed." That's baptism. You were washed, and then look at it. You were sanctified. When, Paul? When were they sanctified? When they were washed. And then Paul puts both of those concepts together, if you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 26, there may be someone here this morning that needs to do that. Let me encourage you to do that. The water is ready. We have garments that you can change into if you want to. We can make whatever arrangement we need to make so that you can be immersed in water and come back up so that you can be set apart. You exercise your faith in Christ. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I want to go down into that water and come up a new creature in Christ. That's when I'm going to be sanctified and set apart. Paul writes that he might sanctify it, talking about the church. Look at it. Having cleansed it by the washing of water, there's your baptism, and the word, there's the words of the Holy Spirit. The washing of water with the word, my version says. It takes both. When I'm willing to do that, and exercise my faith in Christ, I'm going to turn from darkness. I'm going to turn from that power of Satan. I'm going to be washed, and I am going to be sanctified. I'm going to be set apart. Do I need to do that today? I'm no longer satisfied with just being in a sinful world. I want to separate myself from that. It begins when I am baptized into Christ. But turn with me to Romans chapter 6. It continues each and every day after that when I make a choice as a Christian to get up and separate myself from sin. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. One of the problems that was in the Roman church was that some of the brethren had the concept that if I'm baptized into Christ, Romans 6, 1 and following, I've been baptized into Christ and God's grace has brought me to this point. Maybe I can just sin more and more. Look at Romans 6 and verse 1. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Some Roman Christians have the idea that, well, maybe if I sin more and more, then God will show more of His grace. And Paul said, God forbid. When we were baptized into Christ, Paul says, that is to be the death of that old man. And we're to be raised to walk in newness of life, and we don't continue that old way of life. And then look at verse 19. We have to make a choice, a conscious choice each and every day, that we are going to present our members as servants to righteousness unto sanctification. Servants to righteousness unto, or leading to, sanctification. But look at the first part of the verse. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you presented your members as servants to uncleanness, that was your past life. That's the choice you made in your past life. And to iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now, look at that, now. You've got to make a choice now. You're a Christian in the church at Rome. Some of you are saying, let's just continue to sin. You've got to make a choice now to present yourselves members of righteousness unto sanctification. It's a choice. And God's not going to force you to make that choice. It's a choice that we must make each day. I'm going to separate myself from the world. And not only is it a choice, but look at verse 22 and verse 19. It comes through service. Sanctification is not some mystical, mysterious, weird thing that we don't understand. Let me just make it very simple. What it is, we get up each day and we consciously choose to serve God and do some things and not other things, and it sets us apart. We have to do things And so look at verse 19 where he said, servants to righteousness, unto sanctification. And then look at verse 22. But now being made free from sin, you become servants to God, and you have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end, eternal life. That's where we want to head, eternal life. But service is mentioned in both places. We're going to talk in just a minute about just the practical, simple things that we need to be doing to being sanctified. What do we just need to do each day with regard to our service that'll set us apart? One other thing before we look at that, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4. Sanctification is a conscious decision to abstain from sin. We get up each day. It's a process, brethren. It starts when we're baptized into Christ. That's where John Wesley missed it. He said it doesn't happen until later in life. No, it starts the moment you're baptized into Christ. And if we can help you to do that even today, I want to help you to do that. I want to help you to begin today. You walk out sanctified, set apart for God. That would be a great thing. Let me help you to do that. It starts right there. And then it is a lifelong process where we choose. Paul said you chose this one thing. Now you need to choose something else each day. And it is a choice to abstain from sin and be pure. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. For this is the will of God. This is what God wants. Even your sanctification. He wants you to be like Him. He wants you to have those characteristics that are just like He is. That you abstain from fornication. That each one of you know how to possess himself of his own vessel, his own body, in sanctification and honor. Not in the passion of lust, even as the Gentiles who know not God. That no man transgress and wrong his brother in the matter. In other words, engage in fornication with somebody else, you're wrong, you wrong them, it's wrong all the way around. Don't engage in that kind of thing, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, and also we forewarned you and testified. For God called us not for uncleanness, but in sanctification. Therefore, he that rejects not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit unto you. Think about it, brethren, it's the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit gives us His words, and we follow those words, we're going to be holy. But Paul says, you've got to abstain from fornication. You've got to know how to possess yourself. There are people in the world today that don't know how to contain themselves. I'll just think any way I want and act any way I want. You've got to know how to contain yourself. Mind and body. And sanctification requires abstinence. Abstinence is not something that is popular today, especially in the sexual realm. Abstinence today is viewed as prudish and ultra-conservative and boring and, ultra-traditional, old-fashioned. No, abstinence, not just in sexual matters, but in all matters, when we abstain from sin and stay away from that, that's us being sanctified. In the world today, it's engage in whatever you want to engage in, feel good about it. But it requires us, verse 3, it's the will of God. This is what God wants for us. He knows what's best. And we have to possess ourselves. And then verse 4, look at this. Of his own vessel in sanctification and honor. To abstain from sin, and in particular sexual sin, that's the honorable thing. Listen to me, young people. When you engage in sexual activity outside of marriage, that's dishonorable. It's dishonorable. Now I realize on social media, it's cool. But it's dishonorable. It's the same thing with anything else. Bad language, bad thoughts, looking at things on the internet that are improper. It's dishonorable. Abstinence, look at verse 4 again, is honorable. That's what elevates us. That's what shows that we are right in the sight of God. That's something that we can be proud of, that we're abstaining from things. And so sanctification requires abstinence. And it's not just a matter of staying away from things. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 2. This is exactly how we can be used by Christ. It's not just a matter of stay away from this and stay away from that and don't have a good time and God sits up in heaven telling us all the things that we have to stay away from so that we can't have a good time. No, He knows what is the honorable way to live. Now, if we have engaged in some of that in the past, we can be forgiven of that. Don't mistake me. Don't misunderstand me. We can be forgiven of that. And if we did something in the past that was dishonorable, we can be forgiven of that. But we're to live our life in honor. And number two, it's the very way in which Jesus can use us each and every day. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these things that are not right in his life, things that are dishonorable, if he will purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Look at it. Sanctified, meet, or ready for the master's use. How can we be used in Jesus' service each and every day? When we're sanctified, not when we're down there in the muck and the mire of the world. Jesus can't use us when we're in the pig pen. He can't do that. Get up and get out of the pig pen, and we can be ready to be used for Jesus' service. But when our mind and our mouth is in the gutter and all these other things that worldly people do, Jesus can't use us. But when we're sanctified, we're ready for the Master's use, be it talking with others about the gospel or whatever the case might be, raising our families right, whatever the case might be. So what are some things practically that we can do to be sanctified? Remember, it's a process. Turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, a passage we haven't looked at yet, but needs to be looked at with regard to sanctification. Hebrews 12 and verse 14. The Hebrews passage teaches us the necessity, the very important necessity of sanctification. It's not an option. If we want to see God, if we want to be with God in heaven one day, we have to be sanctified. Look at Hebrews 12, 14. Follow after peace with all men and the sanctification, look at it, without which no man shall see the Lord. You're not going to see God. I'm not going to see God unless we pursue, one version says, the sanctification. It's a process. This word that's used in the original is a present imperative, present active imperative, constantly. Follow after is literally keep following after each and every day. That's why I put pursuing, ing. In 2 Corinthians 7 and 1, it's the same present active participle there, perfecting. That's why I use the word process. It's ongoing. It's not just something that happened when we were coming up out of the baptistry. Each and every day we're working on this. And we find ourselves getting farther and farther apart from the world and closer to Jesus Christ. And if you're thinking, I'm not feeling that, then we need to get to work on sanctification. So let's talk about that. First of all, negatively, I need to be staying away from some things. Anytime we talk about staying away from things in the world, we're talking about sanctification, separating from worldly things. Anytime we have a lesson on the words that we use and how we dress and how we act and things like that, if we're talking about something in the Word of God based upon a principle in the Word of God, and it's a lesson dealing with staying away from things, especially young people, listen, it's not just simply mom and dad don't like us to do some things. We're trying to separate from the world. That's sanctification. Anytime I'm working on controlling myself or working on some temptation or not engaged in some activity that other people at school are engaged in, anytime we talk about that kind of thing, it has to do with sanctification. I'm separating from that. And I want our young people to understand it's not just simply of, here's a list of all things we're not allowed to do. It's a list of things that engages in worldliness, and we're to be separate from that. But positively speaking, each and every day, I need to be viewing the things that I do as things that are a process of making me get closer to God and farther away from the world. My prayer life. I talked about Bible study earlier. Bible study and daily Bible reading, that's not just simply so that we can raise our hand. Each day I read my Bible, that is making me separate from the world, not physically, but spiritually and mentally. I'm not going to engage in worldliness. When I assemble here, assembling is not just simply, I've got to get my name checked off. We keep attendance back there and I'm going to get my name checked off. Every time I'm here, that's when I'm not in the world. And it's helping me to separate from that. Every time I read my Bible, every time I pray more and learn to pray more, I'm separating from those things that are in the world. And just think about good works that we practice, or things that we engage in to help others and to stay active throughout the week. These are things that help me to be in that process of separating from the world and getting closer to God. So, it's a process, and let's be engaged in that. One other thing, and then we will close this morning. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. God wants all of us, not just part of us. Sanctification is not where I will give God part of my life. On Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, I will give God a part of my life and I will come down there to the building. The rest of the week is for me. I want to live the way I want. I'm going to put my priorities first. I'm going to do what I want. And on Sunday, I'll give Him me. But on the rest of the week, it's going to be about me. God wants all of us. He wants the whole or the entire being of us to be sanctified. And this is Paul's desire. And the God of peace Himself sanctify you wholly. Your version might say entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved entire without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we're not supposed to compartmentalize our life to where just part of my mind is for God, the rest of it's for the world. Part of my body is for God, but the rest of it is for the world. This soul, spirit, and body is Paul's way of saying the entire being. Some have debated back and forth, are we a dichotomy or a trichotomy? Are we made up of two things or three things? Paul's use here simply is to say our entire being, the spiritual side of us. If there is some distinction, maybe soul has to do with our life in general, and spirit, our mind or our heart. There's not a lot of distinction there, but our spiritual side, our inward side, and our outward bodily side, our physical side, all of it, God wants sanctified. It's not a matter of compartmentalizing our life. I'll give God on Sundays, but the rest of the week is about school and work and how I want to live. All of us, every aspect of our life is to be set apart for God. He wants the whole thing. Well, as I mentioned, the world cannot be attracted to Christ by people who are not different from the world. And I'm going to close with that. I'm going to close the way we began. And that is, we want to attract people to the Lord. But we can't do it if we're just like them. If we're just like the world, they're not going to see any light there to come to. Let's go out this week and continue that process of sanctification. If we find ourselves exactly the same a year from now, we need to work more on that process. If we find ourselves engaging in that same sin, that same temptation, that same flaw, that same character problem, we need to work on the process. We're just staying the same. It's a process of slowly getting away and getting closer to God. And it begins by being baptized into Christ, and it continues each and every day after that. And I hope that our material this morning has encouraged us along those lines. Maybe you know of a member of the church who has fallen back into sin. They don't understand sanctification. Maybe you know of a member of the church that's exactly the same way they've always been for several years now. They won't improve. They don't understand sanctification. Let's be using the words of God that we're reading in our Bible each and every day to separate us from those things and be completely and entirely set apart for Christ. If we can help you this morning to begin that by being baptized into Christ, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?